kind of thing to nitpick this whole storyline with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes and the Bloodline and all that kind of stuff is that The Rock definitely overshadowed Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, even in the promos and everything, and even just physically when you see them standing next to each other, mm-hmm. just The Rock is just like this dominating force, man. And that's probably why he calls himself the final boss.
Right.
Because ultimately that's what he was. But the storyline was between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, it was The Rock cutting promos on Cody Rhodes about how he was going to make him bleed and all that kind of stuff, and promising to give the belt to his mom and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I just felt like kind of Roman Reigns kind of took the back seat to The Rock, you know? And maybe that was planned or not. Maybe because I don't know if you watched, like you said, you didn't want to really watch the Raws and stuff.
No, not yet.
But there's kind of like, it almost kind of seems like they're leading towards like a type of Bloodline Civil War type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how Solo Sikoa was saying that he was taking orders by the tribal chief.
Right.
And we assume that it's Roman Reigns. But what if it's The Rock?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Interesting. Interesting.
So it's kind of like, okay, is this leading towards SummerSlam? Is it leading towards WrestleMania next year?
Well, if they're smart, I mean, you ride this out till next WrestleMania,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I think absolutely they will do that, because they were able to even keep us entertained for the last year and a bit.
Absolutely.
By extending that storyline when we wanted to him to finish the story even that in that first year.
Yep.
I remember so much backlash after that night, right, when Roman Reigns won, and we're like, forget almost there's probably people almost like, forget it, I'm not even watching this, because they're not giving the people what they want, type of thing.
It felt like another Vince ending,
right, dude? And then you got Triple H showing up in the media scrum and being like, listen, stick with us, and you're gonna, the payoff will be there, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know if they can do it, man. I don't know if they can hold us. And then they held everyone for the whole year up to that spot, and they finally finished the job. And so I have no problem, I have full trust in that writing over there at WWE right now, because of the fact that they've done it for the last 2 years and further. You know, I mean, this Bloodline thing's been going on for 4 years now, right?
Yeah.
So I have trust in the process of the writing over there at WWE, because they've been able to keep us entertained for so long. And the nuggets that we're getting now for a future something or other happening, like Bloodline Civil War, like you said, really intriguing too, right?
Yeah.
Because we heard about, did you hear about Jacob Fatu being signed?
Yeah.
And so that, and he's a big man too, right?
He is, man.
So I'm very curious how that's all going to play out. And, you know, I can see the Usos getting back together, you know, now that Jimmy was jumped.
Yep.
And so, I mean, yeah, the intrigue is there. The intrigue is there, and I'm super psyched for it.
And one of the cool things too about the press conference there of Triple H, when he was on there, he talked about how, like, if you think that this storyline, this Cody Rhodes finished the storyline, was really compelling, just wait till we have coming up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, all right, cool, man.
Right.
I'm in, man. I'll watch.
Dude, and you can't help but trust it, right?
Yeah.
Because like I said, he's built that trust already with the fan base of, like,
absolutely,
okay, he'll give us what we want, and he'll make it intriguing and entertaining for the next year and a bit.
And I don't know if you've been seeing kind of like updates on Twitter or Facebook, whatever. You can already see Triple H, because now that this is Triple H's, you know, creation now, pretty much, he's pulling back a lot of stuff where, like, when on night one at WrestleMania, he comes in, which is normally Vince's spot to come in and say, welcome to WrestleMania.
True. Yeah.
And now with all the Vince McMahon stuff that's going on, that's probably most likely what they're going to use now is, like, the, because, you know, when you always see, welcome to WrestleMania, the very first one, like, I'm pretty sure, like, going forward, it's going to be just that Triple H's welcome to WrestleMania, you know, opening and all that stuff. And they're really just like, whatever Vince's legacy and all that kind of stuff, they're really just,
we're over it,
man.
We're past it.
Because night two, how it began with Stephanie McMahon, Triple H's wife, coming in, just planting the flag that this is now Triple H's era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is his company now. And I'm just like, man, that's some like straight up like Game of Thrones stuff, man. When you think about it, about where Triple H has come from, you know, just starting as the wrestler, like the blue blood wrestler, Hunter Hearst Helmsley,
mm-hmm.
to going to, you know, being in the DX and with China and all that stuff. Mm.
And then Michael's going away and him kind of lifting up a little more with the Cerebral Assassin stuff, right?
It's just like...
The backwards cap and the jean jacket and stuff.
Yeah, like that little leather backwards cap and like the ripped jean jacket, you know, coming back from tearing his quad or something like that. Like, it's just... To see where he is now, man, it's just like, holy smokes. Like, it, back in those days, I really I like Triple H, but he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was the guy who always beat The Rock and all that stuff. You know what I mean? He would had these feuds with like Triple H, Stone Cold, because he was like the mastermind behind, you know, getting hitting Stone Cold with the car and all that stuff, right? Yeah. And then Stone Cold dropping him from like in Survivor Series. Remember he was like on a crane with the car, and he like flips the car over all like 20 feet down or something.
I love how Stone Cold can just drive anything, dude. I know. You know?
But man, it's crazy to see him now. He's in charge, and he has all his guys behind him, like Shawn Michaels, which is doing phenomenal stuff in NXT as well. And man, I just like, I hate to do this, man, but I just don't see how AEW storyline wise can even match this.
No,
ring work wise, man, they're still great. Like I watched this past Dynamite because I want to watch that whole All In thing, which we'll get into a little bit later on. And like even just with the Penta and Edge match, Adam Copeland match, like that match was really good, you know. And I really liked, and you could tell Edge still has like that WWE style of like wrestling, storytelling in the ring, and all that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know, Penta is more of like the indie guy where he just moves spots here, moves spot, you know, all that stuff.
Jumping all over,
you know, all the trampoline stuff. The trapeze stuff and all, you know,
all the Canadian destroyers think of
all the moves, you know, the like just the psychology. I was watching it and I'm like so inundated with WWE stuff now where it's like Edge was doing like a submission move on Penta, and he was like it was like a backwards like sharpshooter or something,
okay,
and he had it locked in for a bit. And you would think him getting up, Penta would be kind of like, you know, kind of trying to work the leg a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he just got up and started doing his moves again, jumping off the ropes. And it's like, dude, is that... It just...
Sell a little
psychologically,
bit.
It doesn't really work, you know, logically or whatever. But anyways, getting off track there. Night one. Yeah, you're right, man. I think for me, like, it seemed a little flat a little bit, especially with the crowd.
Yeah.
There were some good matches. Like the Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch match was actually really good.
Yes.
I really liked that one.
Kicked things off really well with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. I mean, I'm a big Ripley fan. I think Lynch is too... Personally, I mean, I think Lynch is too small for her.
She is.
Yep. Right? So, yep. I mean, so she has to work harder.
To her level.
Yeah. She has to work harder.
Yep.
And she did a good job. But, I mean, she's... For me, Becky's never been in, like, Charlotte territory for me.
No.
And it almost got... Like, I can't wait for Charlotte to get back, to be honest, after seeing some of this stuff. Not to say I don't like Lynch, but, I mean, they kicked off WrestleMania really well. Ripley getting the win there. She continues as the women's champion, as
which
she
is a
should,
great move. Good move,
as she should. I don't think Becky should do that. Yeah, I can't even remember. Let's go through the list real quick. Yeah, I'll just give you a quick
little... There was that six-pack tag team ladder match.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, that... I mean, it's a little...
That, I mean, it was a car crash match.
You know exactly what you're going to get with that type of match, right? It's very AEW-ish, right? Where it's just spot after spot after spot. But, I mean, you had nothing but professionals in there.
The one spot that kind of stood out to me was the one with Kofi Kingston when he was on the top of the ladder, and he kind of like jumped backwards into like that whole like pile of humans.
Yeah.
And it just the visual, I could still see it, and it just like the visual of him just jumping backwards, just
a crowd dive, I think.
The crowd dive and just like the faith of having to like know that of them going to catch you. Ultimately, that's what their job was, to catch him. But just the visual of it, of just him doing that, was like, for me, that was like the highlight of the match. And I think someone else get like thrown through the ladder too.
Yeah,
like with like Grayson Waller.
I think it was Waller.
Yeah,
absolutely. A Town Down Under. I didn't even know that was their name. A Town Down Under. That is, I like them as a heel team. Actually, to be honest,
yeah, they're good.
So I think they're if they keep them on them and keep us entertained with them, I think they're going to do some really good things. Super young, super brash, and I think they're going to do some good things for sure.
I was kind of surprised though that they actually split up the tag team titles. Again,
yeah, true. You know,
I was kind of hoping that they would have like made them one tag titles, like just one for, and then like the tag team just goes to each brand.
What would be wrong with that, right?
Yeah, because I feel like the tag team division in WWE isn't as strong to have like two tag team titles.
They need teams that solidify themselves for a year or two at least. You know what I mean? Like, you have so many teams that are just breaking off, or no, just starting with two random single competitors.
Yep.
They try to make a run a little bit. They do make a run, never win the titles though, and then they break off, you know, maybe after a 6 month stint or something like that.
Yep.
But they need some guys to just stay as a team. You need to sit two guys down and be like, listen, you guys are terrific, but I mean, you guys are more, you guys are more important when you guys are together.
Yeah.
And you guys have to sit here and realize that. Put the work in for the next 2-3 years as a tag team. Solidify yourselves as a team, and let's lift this tag team division up a little bit, type of thing.
Like
so,
the Dudley Boys,
absolutely,
the Hardy Boys.
Right? When you have guys exactly that you can go to. I mean, Usos have been doing it for so long. Even New Day was doing it for so long. We still got New Day kicking around here. They're just not the same that they used to be, though. I think we're just kind of over the New Day at this point.
Like, if you look at the, if you look at that list, man, all these guys that are that were in this match are all single wrestlers. Other than maybe like the New Day,
The New Day.
The New Day have been in the stable for such a long time, but they're kind of a, more of a trio rather than a tag team,
right?
You know,
I don't know how long Miz and R-Truth are going to be together. I feel that that can easily, that's so combustible. I think that can just break up in 2 weeks, and it's just like obviously, But you got this like Catch Republic, the new team of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I like both guys. If they stay a team, you know what I mean, for the next 2-3 years, you know, solidify yourself as a team, then that can be a really good thing for the tag team division. But right now I just see them as two guys. Hey, let's think of a name,
throw them together,
and I can see them breaking up in 2-3 weeks and being like, okay, that was a good run, you know what I mean, but at the same time it didn't do anything for the division.
So, and the next couple of matches I didn't really care for, like the Rey Mysterio Andrade one. Like that whole triple tag, like the Rey Mysterio got the win over his brother, his son again.
Whipped him again with the belt there.
And then the next one, which was really disappointing to me, man, the Jay and Jimmy Uso match.
Dude,
that one was really super disappointing. I thought it was going to be like a, just like you as two brothers facing each other, two twin brothers, and they have all this history, you know, like, is Jimmy the Marty Jannetty of the group, you know what I mean? You got Jay Uso, who's kind of like in the main event picture now, you know, and it's just kind of like, and then when they, you would think that it would work well together, because, I mean, they probably wrestled each other so much growing up, you know, and you think that it'd be perfect, but man, it was so disappointing. Just, and I've heard a rumor that apparently this match was supposed to be a dig at the Young Bucks because of all the super kicks.
Oh, really?
And they were trying to show that, like, that it would, like, see how boring this is.
Oh, really?
You know,
can you imagine being like given that task? You know what I mean? Like, subtly pulled to the corner and being like, this is kind of what we're doing, and go and do that type of thing, you know. And being like, okay, well, this is my Mania moment and I'm supposed to be doing this joke, if you will, for Triple H. But I heard from a lot of, well, not heard, but I mean, you read a lot online of this Uso match being the worst match of the night, to be honest.
Honestly, and, I think it was,
man. I'm not a big Uso guy in the first, I mean, as a team they're fine, but I'm not a fan of like the way they wrestle very much. They don't hit hard for me. A lot of slaps, those super kicks, they barely connect for me. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they're not even close.
Sometimes like on the shoulder.
The splashes to me, they land with the knees first more than half the time. There was one point, I think it was actually the last splash that Jay got on Jimmy, where I was watching
to, like,
and
angle,
and I tried to call it. I was like, look it, he's knees first, I bet. And then Jay gives a perfect splash. I was like, oh, okay, he's learning. You know,
that's
like,
his medium moment.
Good for him. Yeah, exactly. Good for that guy. But yeah, and it's too bad, because like you said, you think, you know, this is Mania. You've probably been dreaming of this all your life, you know, fighting your brother at such a pivotal moment in your career. You know, go out there and start hitting each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put up a couple potatoes in there. You know what I mean? Piss each other off a little bit. You know, why not, right?
Yeah.
I think there were super safe and
really safe.
That's what what you get out of the Usos. So,
and then after that was the another match I didn't really care for. It was more so just kind of showcase Jade Cargill. We had Jade Cargill having her WrestleMania debut. Jade Cargill, if anyone knows, she came from AEW. coming over to WWE. She teamed up with Bianca Belair, Naomi, and defeated Damage Control with Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. And that was, I think that one I just kind of skipped over.
Yeah, I think more so, like you said, for Jade than the actual match itself. Not really trying to deliver a message, if you will, but really showing off the roster, I guess, at that point. Yeah. Jade Cargill looks like just a phenomenal being.
She's a specimen.
She is. I think Wade Barrett's like, that is the best human being I've ever seen, or something like that. She's going to be big. She just needs to keep wrestling.
Yeah.
And she'll get better.
I'm really looking forward to Jade Cargill really... getting better in the ring, because I can already see that she's getting better, and then her having that match with Rhea Ripley,
because
I feel like Rhea Ripley works better with the bigger division of women.
Yep,
you know what I mean.
Just taller, I guess. Yeah, you know what I mean.
And she just has like that, just like that Greek chiseled out of granite body Jade Cargill does.
And she's teaming up with Bianca now, from what I understand. Like, they're going to be a team,
which
is pretty deadly team, actually.
That is, man.
Bianca's been in the main... Well, she's been in the women's championship spotlight for the last couple of WrestleManias now.
Yeah.
And she's always been really good.
And she's, like, a freak athlete herself, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's, like, an Olympian or something like that, or...
Top-tier athlete. I mean, her and Ripley are definitely the future of the women's division, right?
Yeah.
And you pair Bianca with Jade up, she'll learn a little something at the same time. You can see them, you know... You can see them splitting off and then facing each other eventually, which will be a really good match as well. So I'm excited for Jade Cargill in the future.
And then the next match was one that I was really looking forward to, man, the Sami Zayn and Gunther match. Mm-hmm. I was actually looking forward to this match a lot more than the World Heavyweight Championship match
with
Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins.
Oh,
just because I feel like the Intercontinental Championship means more than the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right now, anyways,
you know? Currently, right now, it does. Especially with the run that Gunther has had with, like, of course, of all days, it was his 666th day when he lost it there at that time. So it was, like, the 666 mark of his reign. And I thought Gunther was going to win, honestly.
Really, yeah?
I thought he was going to win. I was rooting for Sami Zayn, but I'm surprised about how much I've bought into this Gunther character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Of just how... And he's really good, man. Especially on the mic, too. Like, I'm surprised of how good he is on the mic. You know, just like that... You know, that just cocky champion and everything.
Yeah, egotistical. Like, he's talking down to you type of thing, right? But he's not... He's smiling all the time, too, about it, right? Like, he's smiling, but he knows he's better than you.
Yep.
Yeah, no, he does a terrific job when he's on the mic. And I think that was the best match, actually, I think, once I'm really looking at it.
Yep.
One of the best matches, if not the best match of that night.
Yep.
And, well, Sami Zayn, I mean, we'll see what they do with that Intercontinental Championship now. I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of jumps a little bit now that it's on Zayn and it goes to someone else and maybe the next pay-per-view or what have you. Gunther did a great job of really holding that title to a top tier.
That's what I'm worried about, man. Is I don't want that championship
jump all the time,
finally had prestige to it on Gunther.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He looked like a champion. You know what I mean. With Sami Zayn, it just looks like it looks like you're putting a toy championship on someone.
Yeah,
when you put it on Sami Zayn, you know. And it's just like I get that Sami Zayn's the face and he's over and everything, but. Right. You're completely right, man. He just feels like he's like a transitional champion to like the next person who's going to hold it for like the next 300 days or something like that, you know? Cause,
curious who that would be, though, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe I don't think anyone will.
Kevin
will
Owens,
keep up.
Maybe. I don't know. But possibly. I feel like it would just go back and forth again if it was on Kevin Owens or whatever.
Yeah. But they needed a way to separate Gunther from that scene so they can bring him to the main event level, and that's what they had to do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm excited to see what they do with Gunther now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then the main event for night one, we had the Bloodline with The Rock and Roman Reigns going up against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And this one had stipulation of if Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins won, then the match between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes would be Bloodline free, no interruptions or anything like that. And then if the Bloodline won, then the next night in that match between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, it would be Bloodline rules. Essentially just meaning no disqualification.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
anyone can interfere. Yeah. You know, anyone from A to Z. You can call in John Cena, call in Taker, who knows, whatever.
And honestly, like, it was a good match for me.
Yep.
like it was and you're completely right about with like the pacing of it.
Yeah.
The pacing was a very
I mean, we're not new to it. Yeah. Because Roman Reigns does the same thing now, yep. right? Where yep. he just kind of placates the arena a little bit and yeah, just slow and methodical. And make sure those hits just hit harder. You know what I mean? Yep. That's basically what it's about. But yep. End of the day, yeah, I think the match was decent, especially with The Rock coming back from yep. such a hiatus. I mean, I think he did a great job. I was joking, like 2-3 minutes in the match, just watch a quad break, like snap or something like that. No. Just watch a tendon just go. It's just like, I hope everything's all right with The Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everything was cool, man. He was fine afterwards. So.
And even this one had a little bit of a sprinkling of possible Rock and Roman
yes.
separation with Roman spearing the Rock.
A spear.
And then that kind of became a meme because of Rock's reaction.
Yeah.
Like he was just like, his mouth is wide open, you know, like the whole Rock reaction. And the Bloodline end up defeating Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And it just had that cool visual again of Cody Rhodes sitting in the ring with, you know, kind of going back to WrestleMania 39 when Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes. And he was sitting in the middle of the ring, and in the background, you could see them celebrating.
Yeah,
you know, both The Rock and Roman Reigns. The Rock had like this, like People's Champion belt or something,
yeah.
which was weird to have, but whatever, I guess. You know, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and but you could see both of them, and Cody Rhodes just kind of like again,
God
you know,
dang. Again, yeah. defeated happening. Again.
Yeah,
yeah,
and so yeah, that was night one. You know what? Let's hop into a couple tracks
yeah,
here.
Yeah, let's get some Black Braid.
Do you want to play a song of the week? Do you have a song? You
yeah,
want to
okay. Yeah, yeah. You know what? We just came back from a Queens of Stone Age, so I've been listening to a lot of Queens of Stone Age
yes,
lately, right?
Yes.
You know, from the God is in the Radio.
Cool. You know, I'm going to play another Queens song too, man.
Let's do it.
So this is Queens of Stone Age with God's in the Radio here on CKW 95.9. We'll be right back.
spring coming right along. Oh, about a nice way to ask her for a song. So I asked the mountain if she might want to move me. She said tell the rivers to wake up the lake. See, rivers take it from sky into home base. And yellow belly hawks know how to kill taste. Singing for the spring is like kissing pretty things. And changes like fire, changes like wings. Birch bark and maple and seas of black hair. Sing, raven, sing, show, show, now feel the air.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Welcome back to the Medicine Wheel of Music. We listened to a little bit of tracks we've been digging over this past week, or past couple weeks, I guess, now. Played a couple Queens of the Stone Age tracks there. We played a little bit of Little Sister. And then God is in the Radio. And then we had a track there that was requested from my mom.
Oh, cool, man.
With Digging Roots with Spring to Come.
Oh, I was thinking of playing them today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah?
They were on my phone today. Yeah,
nice,
Digging Roots. I was looking for a nice little rock band. And then I came across Black Braid. But Digging Roots, can't go wrong there, too.
Nothing wrong with them, man.
Yeah, man.
So,
right on.
So before we played the tracks there, we were talking a little bit about WrestleMania Night 1. And then the following, and then after that, on the Sunday, WrestleMania Sunday, they're calling it. Kind of has like a more of like a sport feel when you call it like that, instead of like WrestleMania Night 2.
Like Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Night 2, for me, like I'll say straight up, Night 1 was a decent night. Like worthy of a, you know, big, you know, marquee event like that.
Yeah.
Night 2, for me, was easily a top three Mania for me.
Yeah, cool.
You know, like, for me, it'll always be X7.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 17.
Absolutely, dude.
For me, that was like the pinnacle of like wrestling and just like the build up to it, and especially where I was at in terms of my fandom as a young teen and all that stuff, you know what I mean? Like, that was the height of it.
Man. Everything hit on all cylinders, right?
Exactly.
Everything was at its peak. Yeah,
exactly.
The fandom for sure. I mean, wrestling was hot as ever back then. They had all the top superstars. I mean, even when we're talking about a big difference between that first night and the second night for us of this recent WrestleMania, the crowd.
Yes.
The crowd, right? So, yep. I mean, that first night, we heard all throughout during the day. I don't know if you were watching all the lead up to it, like the kickoffs and stuff like that. They're talking about how cold it was in Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
It was cold. You heard about everyone making jokes about how cold it was. And I imagine it was pretty cold sitting there and you got a cheer or whatever. And you, even for those high moments and those low moments, I mean, you can't help but feel the cold.
Yeah.
Supposedly on Sunday, it wasn't as cold.
Nice.
You know what I mean? When you have that and you're going into the second biggest night of this whole WrestleMania experience, you're going to get loud.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I think the crowd was a lot better this second night, and it really helps for a hell of a show as a spectator.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it definitely kicked it off with a bang, man, with the World Heavyweight Championship matchup with Drew McIntyre versus Seth freaking Rollins. And Drew McIntyre ended up defeating Seth Rollins, and it just seemed like a WrestleMania moment where as soon as he pinned him, you could tell he was getting choked up. He was getting really emotional.
Yeah.
He even got out of the ring, and I think his fiance or his wife or something
kind of gave it to her a little bit. Yeah, that was neat.
Even some family that was there with him as well.
Dude, there was a part where he was sitting in that ring, and he was getting choked up, and he's looking at Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is like crying
or something like that. Yeah.
And Rollins, I think, I don't know what he said exactly, but I think he mouthed the words like, "You're the effing man," or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think Drew kind of gave it back a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, really cool little moment.
And then Drew, because CM Punk was also in this match involved.
Yes.
He was doing the commentating of the match because unfortunately CM Punk couldn't perform at this event because he injured himself again. And then Drew McIntyre starts kind of crawling on the announce table. He's looking at him. He's like, "I'm the effing man," or whatever, you know. And then CM Punk made this line, which, man, is just like, just gets him so good, because he's like, during one of their promos, I think when they were in Chicago, and Drew McIntyre has that Savior WrestleMania shirt, and on the back it has like a checklist. It's like, injure CM Punk,
yeah,
you know, win the Elimination Chamber or whatever. And then CM Punk is like, "I've never had to put another man's shirt on name on my shirt to sell merch or whatever."
Yeah.
And then when Drew McIntyre was on the announce table, you know, posing with the title and everything, kind of showing off to him, he was like, "I've never had, you know, the crowd chanting someone else's name when I just won the championship or something," because they were chanting CM Punk. And then while he was doing that, CM Punk finally blows up, trips him off the table, starts using like the elbow brace that he has on as a weapon. You know, he's hammering him and everything. And this one really good moment that just got me was he looked towards Drew McIntyre's wife or whatever, and then he blows her a kiss.
Yeah.
And then Damian Priest's music hits, man. And that was just, I was just like, whoa, because yeah. I wasn't expecting it, dude, man.
I'd forgotten. I mean, I think everyone, well, I mean, everyone's forgotten, but I mean, you don't even think about it because a lot of us don't see Priest at that tier or at that level, or you don't see an opportunity there. But I mean, it's an absolute opportunity. It's like the only time you really should be doing it, to be honest, as a Money in the Bank holder.
Yep.
So like you said, Priest with the Money in the Bank briefcase comes out, cashes that thing in.
Hits him with that choke slam thing.
Yeah, South of Heaven, I think.
South of
Heaven,
that's right. Yeah.
Boom.
Gets one, the two, title, three, buddy. And then their Judgment Day is standing at the top of the ramp.
Cool little moment there.
That was cool, man. I really like that. And that moment, for me, was like, okay, this night's different.
Off to a good start.
Yeah, this night's different.
Dude, even from the first Claymore, to be honest, because it gave you like Sheamus,
that's right,
Daniel
that's
Bryan
right.
vibes.
Yeah.
First Claymore, boom, you get the 1-2 and the quick kick out at the end. You're like, oh, dang.
And the crowd's just
and that crowd's hot. They're ready for it, right?
Yep.
No, that was good. That was a good start.
And then the match after that was the Pride, they're calling themselves, with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. They went up against the Final Testament, which was a storyline I wasn't really that interested in. I still like Bobby Lashley, and I was really disappointed that they didn't do Bobby Lashley's entrance the normal way,
because
he just has such a cool, where it's like ding 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 ding, and then you just see him come in there, and he just, and then his music hits, and it's like that's a should be a WrestleMania entrance, man.
Use that, right?
Yeah. Instead, they used like the Street Profits music for them to come out, and then he came out after that, and it was okay, cool. And then another surprise was Bubba Ray Dudley was in there. Bully Ray was a special guest referee, and it kind of worked out. I mean, it just worked out because it was a ECW, you know, the affiliation with Bubba Ray and all that kind of stuff. Okay. And, of course, it being the Philadelphia street fight. So it just kind of had like this, you know, ECW type of vibe. Feel to it. Yeah. Yeah. And then, the Pride got the win over Karrion Kross. And I'm just not a big Karrion Kross guy.
No.
I don't know what it is. He just seems so bland.
Dude, I think he needs to cut his hair.
Yeah.
To be honest, I liked him when he was bald and he was vicious in NXT a little bit. But he just doesn't have it here on the main roster for some reason.
Like, he definitely has, like, the look of, like, a badass. Yeah. And he has, like, the hot chick beside him, too, and everything. Mm. And she's... Oof. But, like, the whole gimmick of time and testament and all, it's just like, I don't know.
Bums.
I'm not buying it. And then match after that was LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
LA Knight's still hot.
He is, man.
Still
he
hot. Is.
Yeah. And I think this next Friday, AJ Styles and LA Knight are facing each other to see who faces Damian Priest at Backlash.
Love that.
So they had like this triple threat on Raw and a triple threat on SmackDown.
I hope that's AJ Styles then.
Yeah.
To be honest. I mean, if you want people to believe Damian Priest as a tier guy, you can't switch that title now.
No.
You have to have him start winning, like everything. And I don't want LA Knight to lose, really.
A good point. That's a really good point, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hopefully it's AJ.
Yeah. And then, LA Knight got the victory over AJ Styles. They had, like, this really... serious beef with each other over the past few weeks where LA Knight was going to his house.
Yeah.
He was like beating him up in his yard and everything. It was really funny. And then they had this moment where I think it was at like the WWE World where it used to be like the Access thing, and LA Knight and AJ Styles were fighting each other at this like press conference
signing?
Type of thing.
Oh yeah.
Like signing or something? Yeah, it was like a signing, and it just looked awkward. Like they were just kind of like just wrestling with each other, like kind of like one person would get on top, the other person would get on top.
Yeah.
It just like, it looked so awkward when they were doing that. then next up was the triple threat match for the United States Championship with Logan Paul up against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. I was kind of hoping that Randy Orton would have won this one, but it kind of seems like maybe they want to get him into maybe the main event picture with Cody Rhodes potentially, you know?
Possibly. Possibly.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. I mean, Randy doesn't need any wins.
No.
You know what I mean? No. So I saw Logan Paul winning this match just because, like, what better way to lift him a little more is to beat a guy like Randy Orton and Kevin Owens in a triple threat. Randy doesn't need that win. And Kevin Owens, I mean, he's usually, like, mid-top guy.
He's
like the Nakamura
kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Tier. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, like LA Knight-ish, you know, Styles-ish kind of thing.
That's what's cool about what this era now is.
Yeah.
Is that there's a strong middle tier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
You remember Attitude Era? You either had like either top tier guys, or you had guys like D'Lo Brown fighting Kurgans or something like that. And it's just like, you know what I mean? It's just, there wasn't really a middle per se.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, in this one, we definitely do have a middle and like potential for main event talent, yeah, yeah, which is great.
Yeah. Whenever some person gets there 15 minutes or whatever, like yeah, a Kofi or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next match, well, Logan Paul got the win over the both of them. And you're completely right. It's still the having Logan Paul with the title definitely still showcases WWE a lot better than if it was Kevin Owens or Randy Orton, just because of the following that Logan Paul does.
Oh yeah.
Even though I hate how good he is.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like his personality, but he still showcases WWE in a way where he's bringing that title everywhere and everything, mm-hmm, right? So. And then next match, which I was actually surprised about how invested I was in this one, with the Bayley and Io Sky one.
Yeah.
Where actually I thought this was a really good match.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. It started off kind of, I don't know if Io Sky was a little nervous or something, because it seemed like she was kind of messing up a couple times at first.
And by the end of it, she found it, though.
She found it, man. She was great.
Like the second half of that match, she was hitting everything.
Yes.
And she was clean.
That one spot where she did like this head spring thing, where she was trying to get rolled up or something. Yeah. And she did this head spin, and like the crowd was like, whoa.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Holy smokes. No. That was cool. And yeah, man, it was a really good match. Bayley got the win. Just a really good feel-good moment with Bayley finally getting her moment at WrestleMania after winning the Royal Rumble and everything. And kind of putting that whole damage control storyline to bed and everything. And now Bayley's a face again.
Yeah.
You know, she's the good guy again.
Yeah.
And it definitely showed at SmackDown. She was definitely a huge baby face. Then the main event, the big one that we waited for a full year for, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns the undisputed WWE Universal Championship in the Bloodline Rules match.
And does it say the duration of that match on there?
33 minutes.
33 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So that match, all right, real quick. The first 20 minutes of that match,
yeah,
give or take, I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. I thought it was straight up wrestling, nothing too crazy. A little slow, methodical at spots, but we saw Roman Reigns pull out some like back body drops that we haven't seen in forever.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So there was some actual moves being done, which is terrific. I thought the first 20 minutes, I'm not saying the last 10 minutes or last 13 were bad, but I mean, it gets a little crazy at the end, right? Because of the Bloodline rules.
And it was funny how like at first when the match, because it was a Bloodline rules match and it's essentially is a no disqualification match. There was a point where Cody Rhodes immediately kind of went out to the ring and was going to pull out a table.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, please don't let it be this kind of match. Yes. You know what I mean? And then, Roman Reigns hits him or whatever, puts him on the puts him on the ground. And then Roman Reigns slides the table back under the ring and everyone's just booing him.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Because I was thinking the same thing too. I was like, a quick table spot like real quick. I was like, oh dang, they're bringing the furniture out already, kind of thing. But no, I love the whole idea. I was like, nah, I'm sliding that thing back under. Like, I ain't doing that type of thing.
Oh man,
that's great.
And then so they kind of go off into the crowd. They wrestle like on the whole structure above the ring and everything. And I mean, it was definitely added something different than last year's match, because last year's match was just a straight up, one-on-one wrestling match with DQ on everything. So it was a little bit different than last year's. So then they get back into the ring, and Cody Rhodes looks like it was almost like the same thing as last year, where Cody Rhodes is about to do the triple, crossroads on Roman Reigns. And then in comes Jimmy Uso.
Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting for someone to interfere at that point.
Exactly,
to be honest,
right? Yeah, because no one there. What I thought with Bloodline Rules match was going to be was sort of like a lumberjack type of match the Bloodline was going to be kind of outside the ring or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, that's what I thought it was going to be. But I guess everyone was just in the backstage, just at catering. Having a sandwich or whatever. And so then Jimmy Uso comes in. He super kicks. Cody Rhodes, and funny thing too about before he's about to hit the crossroads on Roman Reigns, he does like this, looks over his shoulders both times to make sure that no one comes in,
right?
And then he still gets super kicked in the head, kicks out. Then Jey Uso's song hits, then Jey and Jimmy are fighting on the ramp, And then this huge spot where Jay spears Jimmy off the ramp onto the... And it wasn't like there was like a padding or anything underneath.
No.
It was literally a cloth and two tables. And underneath just raw cement.
They hit one. That was the last time you saw those Usos too. Like,
you might be still be laying there. I don't know, man. But so then...
And Solo comes in.
He does this exact same thing where he spikes Cody Rhodes. And I legit thought that was it.
Yeah.
I thought that Cody Rhodes was going to lose there. And then he kicks out.
Yeah.
Then he does it again. And there's a point where Solo... And it kind of... When I see how Solo was at Raw and SmackDown and see how Solo was kind of barking at Roman Reigns, it's like it kind of planted the seed already of like there's already like a
changing of the guard.
Changing of the guard a little bit.
Because
he was like, get him. Like, what are you doing? Get him.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns was like, all right.
Like, I'm trying.
Like, I'm trying here, you know? And I was like, that's different.
That's different.
That's different. Because you never see Solo with that type of emotion towards his tribal chief.
Or just saying anything, really.
Exactly, yeah. And so, he's been talking a lot, man. Like, especially with, like, on SmackDown, or I can't remember if it was Raw or something. But,
So then we heard the Shield song.
Yeah, that's right. Was it Shield or Cena first?
Shield first. Oh no. Okay, Solo. Actually, you know what? Seth came out, and then Solo stopped Seth because the camera was like not even on anyone.
That's right. Yeah. That's
and all of a sudden, it turns quick and it catches Seth for a half second, and then he just gets taken out, and then he's just laying there on the ground, and it's kind of like thanks for showing up, Seth. Yeah. I guess, you know what I mean? Like,
and it was Shield Seth too.
Right.
It wasn't the visionary Seth.
Yeah.
He was wearing his old Shield gear and all that kind of stuff. I think he even had like the blonde streak, I think,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. And then...
it was a dumbass spot, though. I mean,
Because in the chair, he gets super punched, like, immediately.
Boom. And then he's gone. Like, what help was that?
And then John Cena's music hits.
Yeah.
And there's a huge pop. And everyone's going crazy. And I think John Cena takes out Solo.
Yeah.
And then the Rock music hits. He comes down. He's wearing, like, his bell bottoms and all that kind of
stuff.
He's
swearing up a storm on his way.
You can see him just swearing, walking down that ramp the whole way.
Yeah, dude. Just pissed off that anyone's interfering.
And then he hits Cena with the Rock bottom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're kind of anticipating someone else to come out. And I thought it was going to be Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everyone else thought it was going to be Stone Cold.
Right.
But then the gong hits. It's The Undertaker. And I was still excited.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, nice.
And then
The Undertaker, you know, the lights come back on. The Undertaker's behind him. Choke slams The Rock. He's out of it. And then...
lights go off. The bodies are gone afterwards.
Yeah, it's just carnage everywhere.
Yeah,
right? Just a human car wreck, as JR would say. And and then there was a point where I think that was when there was Cody and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns in the ring,
mm-hmm.
and he has the chair and he's about to hit Cody Rhodes with it.
Yeah.
But then he sees Seth Rollins standing back up in his Shield uniform, and it just harkens back to when Seth turned on the Shield and he hit Roman Reigns in the back with the chair. And so Roman Reigns sees him, and he sacrifices, you know, he could beat Cody Rhodes right there by hitting him, but then he sees and he has this moment where he could get back at him.
Dude, you know what? Yeah. I didn't realize how storytelling that part really was.
That moment was like, it just tied it up, man.
Nostalgic kind of feel, like go back to the beginning a little bit. And then now that you say it out loud, yeah, his focus to take Rhodes out is delayed by that.
Yeah, because he's so overcome with, I want to get revenge on this guy.
Yeah.
And it allows Cody Rhodes to recover and get up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then so he hits him in the back, and then Cody Rhodes gets up. He's able to cover. He does the triple crossroads, 1-2-3 on Roman Reigns.
Dang.
And the story's finally finished. Roman Reigns' reign as champion for 1,300 days is finally over.
Huge.
By God, that was the most satisfying storytelling I've ever seen in wrestling, man.
I love it.
By God. Dude, I even choked up when he won.
Oh, yeah.
I was emotional, man.
God damn.
Like, that, I've never felt that way for a wrestling storyline, I can probably say ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was beautiful.
Completely invested in it. Yeah. And finally getting that win, the monkey off the back. Everyone was happy about it. I thought that was a terrific way, obviously, to end one of the biggest WrestleManias, if not the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
And all, and all metrics they were saying, it's like the biggest in terms of
record-breaking,
money,
record-breaking everything, supposedly, right?
Yeah.
So overall, wonderful way to cap off a historic two-day event there in WWE, and the dawn definitely of a new era, the Triple H era.
They even changed the intro too.
Yeah, the new watermark now.
The new watermark is different. Apparently, they're reining back. You know those 3D schedule, the 3D figures when wrestlers come in.
Yeah,
they're taking that away now.
That's what I heard. Actually, they're going to be taking that AI down a bit, a little bit, and they're going to be
only for like big events and stuff. Yeah,
may as well, right?
And then even the Titantrons for the SmackDown and Raw are being brought down a little bit. You know, and man, new era, man. Like, this is crazy.
I'm in.
Like, it's I would sacrifice all that production for production storyline writing and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
I don't care about how the Titantron looks and everything. Just give me storytelling, man. You know what I mean? Like, that could be truly invested in. Yeah.
Where do we go from here? It's going to be fun, though, to watch. I mean, I wonder what The Rock's going to be doing. I mean, I think he's going to be filming a movie pretty soon, so I don't know if he's going to be able to actually do some stuff. But I was thinking in my head, okay, see, SummerSlam's around the corner, pretty big. Could you go, like, Cody and Rock, and then Roman versus Seth because of that whole... Because of that whole... He distracted him from winning.
Yeah.
And now they have a little thing going.
Yeah.
And then build to a Rock-Roman WrestleMania of some kind. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We're running close here to the end of the show,
okay,
but just not to go too deep into it. But with, on Raw, I don't know if you've seen with the interaction between The Rock and Cody Rhodes, where he did tell him, "I'm going away for a bit," and but I want to tell give you something, and he's like, "But when I come back, I'm coming for you."
Oh yeah,
and he hands him something. Cody Rhodes didn't mention what it was,
right?
But he still has it.
But we don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is. So eventually, when he comes back, he'll probably reveal what it was. Could be, I don't know what it was, but it was something that could fit in the palm of your hands. And I'm super interested in where that everything goes. So
great WrestleMania,
man. Great stuff, man. And just I'm super pumped and optimistic over where things are going to go. So all right, so thank you so much for everyone for tuning in to the Metis Wheel of Music and allowing us to talk WrestleMania for my goodness, for this second hour. And but it was fun. I love it, and I really appreciate you guys listening. Stay tuned to CKW 95.9 because the Neon Beige are coming up, and by God, they're gonna be talking a lot of the storyline. I can guarantee you that. Real quick,
Dune 2,
5 out of 5 fists.
That is a perfect rating right there.
Phenomenal film,
dude.
Amazing, amazing film.
Is there a Dune 3 coming?
Yep. And it's called Dune Messiah.
No,
it's beautiful. That would be great. I love it. I love it. All right, we're going to end the show off here with you know what? Screw it. Let's go in with a Black Braid track here.
Okay.
This one is titled. And Queens of Stone Age. Good concert too.
5 out of 5 fists.
Yes, sir.
I thought that was a great concert.
It was
dude.
A really.
They could have played
concert.
2 more hours, and I would have been so happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man. Absolutely.
Goddamn.
All right, we're going to end the show off here with a little bit of Black Braid from their Black Braid 2 album. This one is titled Twilight Hymn of Ancient Blood. Here at CKW 95.9.
Peace.